Yo, now I can breathe. Sure. It is like, sure. Whew. Thanks. So you guys have to wait a bit longer to do that. But yeah, it's just so amazing to be together and just to glorify God together. And I'm just excited to share with you guys what I have in my heart. I need to stay behind this line for the Holy Spittle not to reach you. for that sake, I'm going to stay here. So Father, we just thank you that we can be together this morning to exalt such a glorious, such a high King. God, you are God above the heavens, Lord. You are Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth, Lord. You are so lifted up high, so exalted, Lord. And I just pray that you'll grip our hearts this morning with wonder and with conviction and with awe of who you are. Father, we acknowledge you as the one that just lifts our heads this morning. We acknowledge you as the one that meets each one of us today where we are at, Lord. And I trust you that even in this morning, God, that you will come and shift things in our hearts. And I trust you, Lord, that we will be able to see together what you have on your heart for us. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my all-time favorite Christian movies is Facing the Giants. I don't know if you've watched that movie. Huh? And one of my favorite scenes is that last scene where that big guy goes, "Stonewall! Stonewall!" And he runs around and that whole team knows what Stonewall, and they built this wall and the team can't come over. There was like this amazing unity in that team. And then they beat a team that is three times, I don't know how many times, bigger than them. And we all like those sport movies when the underdogs win the thing. And it's just something that I want to speak about today is Stonewall, Stonewall. And from the story of Nehemiah. Now, if you've been in church for long, or you've gone to kids' church, or you've probably heard of Nehemiah. I know I read that story three times a year out of the kids' Bible to my children. I know we all know the story, but it's Nehemiah is this cupbearer, this guy that serves in a Persian king. It's after exile. They've been exiled to Babylonia, and God has been restoring his people back to Jerusalem. And he, what I'm doing now, I'm giving you shorthand from Nehemiah chapter 1 to 6. So you can go and read that today. So I'm not necessarily going to read a lot of verses like this. I might read some of them, but just shorthand. I'm going to just give you context of the story, just remind you. The kids, you will probably remember it better. But it's like Nehemiah, he's serving in the king's palace, in the winter palace. He's in the place of comfort. He eats from the king's table. He is just, it's the best place to be. He just needs to watch out for the poison when somebody wants to kill the king. But, he tastes all the wine and all those things. But that's, other than that, he's having the life. He is just the man, except under the king and so. So he's having this kind of amazing time in the palace. And then he gets news that his people is in trouble, that they are in shame, that the walls of the wall around Jerusalem has been broken down and the gates have been burned down. And this news just touched him in such a way that he started praying and he started trusting the Lord for favor in the king's side. He got favor. The king sends him to to Jerusalem, where he watched, he inspected the wall, he see what work needs to be done. He managed to rally about 42,000 plus people, Mensa. the Afrikaans coming through. Sorry, that's what you got right. and he tried, he managed to rally and unite a people, and they start building a 4-kilometer wall in 52 days. That is a sign and a wonder. This wall was 12 meters high, 2.5 meters wide. It was a miracle for one man going in. And you know, it's something that stood out for me about this story. In Nehemiah 6 at the end. So they finished the wall in 52 days, verse 15. And Nehemiah 6, verse 15, then verse 16. And when all the enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. How powerful is that? It's like building a wall, put a statement out there that you don't touch God's people anymore. For long, you've been breaching that wall. For time, you've come over that wall. The enemies, these guys like Sanballat and Tobiah, and they were coming over this wall and just putting the people of God in so much trouble and breaching this wall. And Nehemiah responded to what he felt the Lord is laying in his heart, and he started building this wall in a miraculous time. And then we saw a miracle happen, and that put a statement out to the nations out there. So why was it so bad news that this wall was actually in ruins? To explain that, I'm going to share a story. So when I was still a student at TMT in the Bible school, we had our previous building. Johnny was there once. I saw him there. You remember the old building? First love day. So this building was two stories, and it was in a U shape. But when we got there in 2001, it's the first time I arrived here in Wellington. Got to this, there was this flimsy fence around the building. And you know what? We had a lot of fun. In the nights, we had Men in Black. The girls had to come and wake us up if they want to go to the loo so that we can walk them to the toilet because it was unsafe for them to go to the bathroom. It was this funny bathroom there at the back, and we had to escort. So imagine at 12 at night, you get a knock on your door, and I could imagine how awkward it was for the ladies to go and wake up a guy and toss him, I want to go to the toilet. And you just walk with them, stand outside in the cold, and walk back. And it was that kind of thing. And then we had many breaches of safety, in a sense. Like one evening I was sleeping and I just had this thought, just open up your eyes. And I sat up in my bed and there was a guy standing in my door. I'm like, hey! I ran towards the guy. I didn't think at that stage. I just want to get him out, grab him on his shoulders, walked him out, says, what are you doing here? No, I heard there's accommodation here. I said, no, there's no accommodation here. So I took him outside. I didn't think of even phoning the police, just put him outside. And we had many of these kind of instances where there was just a safety breach. We put up safety cameras. The next day it was stolen. So it was that kind of thing. And then there was a guy from Limpopo. He came to be a student at TMT, and he built a wall, a stone or a brick wall. And it was amazing. When the wall went up, we had less and less of that. And I think something of a wall is it keeps the wrong people out, and the gates lets the right people in. The wrong things out, and a wall, when the walls are down, whoever wants to breach that wall. And if you've been in Gauteng, they've got big walls there. But here in the Cape, we don't know it yet. That's not as visible. But it's like there's something of the wall brought safety. And Isaiah 60 speaks about the wall of salvation and the gates of praise. So Nehemiah got this massive compassion for the people. And you know what was amazing? When he restored the wall, worship was restored. A devotion to Scripture was restored. Holiness was restored. If you just read from chapter 1, you can actually do chapter 9. You can read and you hear these stories of restoration that happens when the wall was finished. And it's such an amazing thing. I even read Ezra before that. They tried to restore the temple and they couldn't because the walls were still down. But when the walls came up, worship came back. And it was such an amazing breakthrough in the nation. So where am I going with the story? So I believe I brought some bricks. Can you all see them? All right. So Nehemiah got news that the walls were in ruins and the gates were burned down. And what I want to speak today is, like, I think through lockdown, through isolation, there were things that in our walls that I don't think the wall is completely down, but there were areas of compromise that came in. And place where the enemy start breaching. Corporately, I feel there's areas that I felt the Lord wants to highlight for us, that even some of these things we have a decision in, and some of it we can't have a we don't have a decision in. But things that is like isolation and social distancing. So when I read Acts 2, they met in one another's homes. They broke bread in one another's homes. They met together. It was a people that together. I would sit like Nehemiah and say, "Oh, Lord, 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 we want to meet in one another's homes again. We want to share and break bread together." And what was amazing about Nehemiah's response is he didn't go into like a whatever, never-minded mindset. Like, I'm in the king's palace. Everything is fine. I don't have to worry about that. He took the position that this is my people. And if we can build this wall, God will come and protect him. For 4 months, he prayed since he heard the news. For 4 months, he prayed, he fasted, he wept until the first time he had time in chapter 2 when he had in the king's presence where he could share the vision that he wants to go and do. And so his response to the news of this wall that was in ruins was prayer. And so corporately, there are things that we don't, like, we still have, like, the preaching of the scriptures. We still have, we can mouth our worship in, like, there's so many things that we can celebrate. So I'm not saying everything of it is bad, but it's something of a longing in my heart. And I'm trusting that we will have that same longing like Nehemiah had. And not a never-mindedness, it's okay, we'll just go. But Lord, we will start praying for that day. Lord, if you want to bring a cure or an like, do that. If Lord, I trust you. You show us creative ways of how we can meet together in ways. But Lord, we long for the church to be the church that you have died for, that you have died on the cross for. And other things that we could maybe, you know, have you heard that phrase, stay safe? Hashtag stay safe. It's all over. And you know what it means? It means sanitize, keep your social distance, put on your mask, and just be responsible so we can flatten the curve. And these are phrases that we hear all the time. And you know what? That's what it means. But you know what it does not mean? It does not mean preserve your own life. It does not mean seek your own. It does not mean to save your own life. Because Jesus in Matthew 16 says, For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So I'm not saying go and ask somebody to cough on you. No, this is not what I'm preaching. I'm just like, we have, in a sense, who have you felt after lockdown? I personally felt like a diesel engine in a very cold morning to get started. And it's like cranking this thing, but it doesn't want to get going. It's like, woo, woo, woo. And then it's just like going. And this thing just, and then suddenly, when I just pressed into the Lord, it's like, the engine starts going again. And even this week, I've been just really experienced such amazing times with the Lord and just pressing in and so. But I think many of us, we have been preserving, saving our own lives, in a sense, protecting ourselves in to be safe and be responsible, and that's good. But what we should not allow it to teach us is that we stop giving of ourselves to serve Jesus, that we get so comfortable. You know that thing of the comfortable couch potato Christianity? You can decide how you want the preach to be by a switch of a button. You can sit back in worship and you don't even have to participate, because you know what? Something of what I'm longing for is, Lord, that we will not bring you something that costs us nothing. That we will not bring, that we will not seek so much to stay, save our lives, but actually in the process lose it for His glory. So what am I saying through this? I'm saying it's like, let's be careful that through this all, that we are not being taught to become selfish, to become, because that is a bridge in the wall. That is a bridge in the wall. And the enemy is going to barge over that, and he's just going to, let's keep our lives for self. We as a church, we are called to live amongst one another. That's just, I'm just, for time's sake, there's so many other things that I thought that would actually, corporately, the things that, like Nehemiah longed out, I think things that we could long for and trust the Lord in our midst. And then individually, maybe through this time, and maybe it's not even the fault of isolation and lockdown. Maybe it's just, you know what, that wall was in ruins, not because they were exiled. It was because of sin. And so maybe the fact that the wall is in ruins, not maybe just something that happened recently, but it's like there has been sin and compromise and things that I've not dealt with. And it meant like maybe I'm not accountable as I should be. So the enemy compromise comes in and he breaches that wall. And what I want to leave with each one of us today is like that we will ask the question, where is the wall down? It says that Nehemiah, when he went to Jerusalem, the first thing he did is he went to go and inspect the wall. Where is the vulnerable places? And I want to leave that question this morning to you, is where is your wall vulnerable? I hope this is not like sounding too airy-fairy and too picture. I want to speak about real things. In your marriage, is the wall strong? Is there compromise? Is there things that you've just let it slip? You just let down the wall in that area. Maybe impurity. I mean, the Israelites, they were serving other gods. They lost the fear of the Lord. And it was just something. And I don't know necessarily where each one of us are at. But what I want to say is, will you today, if I say stone wall, will you go and expect a wall and see, Lord, is there any place in front of my house, in front of my home that is broken down? And will you come, Lord, and you respond like Nehemiah and say, Lord, will you come and restore that part of the wall so that it can be strong, so that there will be no breach. There will be no breach of the enemy over that which the Lord has given us. I love this brave heart statement by Nehemiah in chapter 4, Nehemiah 4, verse 14. It says, do not be afraid of them. Yeah, do you feel it? You can take our lives, but you cannot take our freedom. All right. So this is what I'm hearing when I see is that, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. As we inspect the walls, you know, at times like there were times when the enemy tried to breach the wall while they were building, and then they would rally to that place where the enemy wants to come in, and everybody fights together. But most of the time, they were working in front of their own home. They were building the wall in front of their own home. And I've been asking myself, Lord, where are areas where the enemy keeps on bridging in our family? I want to strengthen that part of the wall. I want to make sure that it is so secure that the message will be put out to the principalities and to the enemy that their God, his God, is with him. You don't go there. You don't go there. And that's what I'm trusting for that this morning, that as we respond to this, that something of the heart of Nehemiah to pray. Now, we've launched a 21-day of prayer and fasting in this week. And what's amazing about this thing is it's not one guy praying for 21 days on his own. But we felt like it's something that as a family together, if we divide the communities into like you take that day, you take that day, each community will have two slots in 21 days where they can pray for the church, fight for your brothers and your sisters. where we can fight through prayer and fast and trust the Lord for breakthrough in our brothers, in our sisters, and in our homes. And so the days when you're not praying, somebody else is praying for you. And it's something that we are doing together, even though we're not every day like praying specifically. You can, it's open for all that, but it is like that thing of a unity that comes as we seek the Lord together. You know what? Nehemiah managed to rally a whole nation and unite them. And the power that when people unite, even though we have to keep our social distancing, we can be of one heart, of one mind, of one purpose. Acts 4 verse 32. And just trust the Lord for that unity in our midst. And something stood out about Nehemiah that just gripped me is that Nehemiah chapter 1, I want to encourage you, go and read it. It's actually funny and very entertaining how they do this whole journey. And when you read, you can think stone wall. And they built this wall, and it's amazing. There's so many treasures. I had to condense myself and not to say everything what I wanted to say. But something that stood out for me about Nehemiah had the long prayers, like in chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. He starts off and he prays and he starts. And in that prayer, it sounds like the Lord's Prayer. He praises God. He petitions God in that prayer. He repents of sin. He humbles himself. He reminds the Lord of his promises. And he asks. He asked the Lord. He asked actually for something. And I believe this is a time where even though we can't go and rush in with swords and try to change things, I believe our best weapon at this time is prayer. And that we will respond as a people and pray for our brothers, pray for our sisters, pray for our families, pray for our own homes, and trust the Lord where there are areas of compromise, that the Lord will come and strengthen those areas. So we have an opportunity to start building our walls. Let's do it like this. Not like my dad was a bricklayer, so I know it needs to be something like this. All right. All right. But let's build the through prayer. And you know what? Maybe you don't always have the words like Nehemiah in that first prayer. If you follow Nehemiah in chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 9, chapter 6, verse 9, every time they had some resistance, and he did a short arrow prayer, but God, I prayed. Lord, you said. He had these arrow prayers. He had this long prayer, but then he had these prayers that he just shoot out. And in that moment, when he stood in the king, and the king said, you know what? In a king's presence, a cupbearer were not allowed to show his emotions. And he was in chapter 2, he was showing that he's sad, and that means they could actually put him to death. And the king said, why are you so sad? And he said, king. Before he answered the king, he said, God, help me now. And then he said, this is my request. And he brought that thing. And I think there would be moments like this. I remember, and I'm closing with this, is there was a time where there was a situation. I couldn't do anything about it in a sense. I wasn't present in the area where this thing was happening. I prayed all the prayers that I know I could pray. I didn't know what to say to God. I was like, I'm on my way somewhere. And I trust you right now. And I say, only words that I could get out is, Lord, I do not know what to say. Help! Help! And I got home that day, and I realized, sure, the Lord actually, through that one prayer moved things and shift things. And I realized that sometimes we don't even have to pray fancy prayers. We can just, in our hearts, set our minds in our hearts on Him and trust Him for our families. Okay. And that's what I wanted to share today. And I believe that there might be areas in the walls that are compromised. And what I want to trust the Lord, that even today, I'm going to give a moment that you actually ask the Lord, is there any areas of the walls that has been breached, or that the enemy keeps on crossing over there. And Lord, will you, and that we will respond like Nehemiah today and say, Lord, I'm going to pray. Even if I'm going to pray for 4 months or more, even if I'm going to contain for that as long as possible, I'm going to fight for my brothers, my sisters, my wife, my children, and my home. We're going to fight and do this together through prayer and trust the Lord. So let's not have a whatever mindset and say, I'm fine, I'm comfortable. But let's think of others and let's pray and contain. When those days come when your community is on, give it your all and trust the Lord that somebody will be blessed through that. And that he will come and bring breakthrough. And what I'm trusting for is that through this, that we will actually hear testimonies. And that we can actually build a wall of answered prayer where we can share of what the Lord has done in our midst. Don't be afraid, even if it's how small, that you will trust the Lord for those areas. And I just feel in the Lord that some of you actually have been laboring, and it's been months and maybe years, and you're just like, when is that breakthrough come? I just want to give up. Even if you can just breathe the prayer, help, Lord. Lord, help me to see you. Help me to find you in this time, that you will do that. Can we all just close our eyes where we are at in your chair, and just let's trust the Lord. Just consider quickly. Maybe you'll need more time to think about this, but maybe there's still areas that you know that has been compromised. And something that Nehemiah did in that first prayer in chapter 1 is there was repentance. And maybe it would mean actually that the prayer that you bring is just, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? Will you please forgive me? Lord, will you help me to strengthen this wall and build this stone wall that will not be able to be reached by the enemy? So if you want to respond to this, just in your heart, says, Lord, that area, and then I'm going to pray for us all. Just respond where you are in your chair and where you want to trust the Lord. And then what I want you to do is, as I pray for others also. Pray for your brothers, your sisters in that moment. If you know there's like really everything's going well, but let's pray for one another in this moment. And then you just agree with me and we say amen together at the end. So Father, I pray where people might sit here, Lord, and the wall is at areas are weak, Lord, and the enemy has been breaching and coming over. Maybe it's through times of whatever, like lockdown or just isolation, that we actually let down our guard. I trust you, Lord, and that even in those areas and where we maybe have sinned as brought compromise to the wall, God, I trust you that by your Spirit that you will come and convict today, and that you will come and speak to us. But Lord, today your people want to come and we want to respond like Nehemiah did. And we want to say, Lord, we trust you. Will you come and help us to rebuild, to strengthen the walls where it's weak, God, so that it will not be breached. So right now, everyone that's responding right now, Father, I trust you in those situations that you will come with your might and with your splendor. Lord, you hear that prayer of help. You hear that prayer of repentance. You hear that prayer of petition crying out, Lord, I trust you that in the midst of this, Lord, that you will come into those situations, Lord, and I trust you for breakthrough upon breakthrough upon breakthrough. And Lord, even where breakthrough takes long, Father, I trust you for the persistence and the pressing in to continue to pray and call upon you who are faithful. And Father, where the enemy has been breaching and coming over and stealing in our lives, Father, I trust you that it will be put out today to the principalities that God is with them. And Father, that they will not come close to your people in Jesus' name. Father, make us strong. I pray that in that picture of a stone wall of a people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Sing, how great is our God. I wonder if you could just stand with me for a moment. Does everyone stand?